Chapter 8, A Visit and a Tragedy. Baruch thought for a long time before deciding that he had to comply with the wishes of the Peretz and pay him a visit. If he would fail to show up, the Peretz would be deeply insulted. Baruch was not willing to accept the heavy responsibility for angering the Peretz. The result could be very damaging for the many Jews who depended on him for their livelihood. Late one evening, Baruch set out for the home of the Peretz, which was located not far from the orchard. The front of the rich estate of the Peretz was marked by neat rows of pine trees. A delightful semicircle of fruit trees surrounded the mansion. Large gardens of blooming flowers and beautifully trimmed plants stood at the front of the home. A paved, winding pathway led to a series of gleaming marble steps that announced the entranceway to the home of the Peretz. Baruch knocked on the door, which was opened by the Peretz himself. He welcomed Baruch inside with great friendship. In those days, a guest was expected to remove his hat upon entering a non-Jewish home. Baruch did not do so. "Aren't you taking off your hat?" the Peretz wondered out loud. "Please do not take it as a sign of disrespect," Baruch replied with a polite laugh. "It has to do with my beliefs." Come in," replied the Peretz with a graceful wave of his hand. He led him through the hallway and then pointed to a soft couch. "Yes, I am very interested to hear about it," he said, referring to Baruch's explanation for not removing his hat. Meanwhile, the wife of the Peretz entered the room, accompanied by her two children. Baruch began to explain. "The book of Psalms, Tehillim, contains a verse, 'Let every being that has a soul praise Hashem.' The Jewish sages point out that the Hebrew word for soul, neshama, can also be read neshima, meaning a breath. They explain that for every breath that a human being takes, for every second that we are alive and functioning in this world, we must praise our Creator. For that reason," he continued, "I do not remove my hat. For every moment that I am alive, it is as if I am standing in the presence of God and praising Him. When we stand before God, we wear a head covering out of respect for His Majesty. That is the Jewish custom." Baruch's explanation about the hat opened the way for a string of questions about the other strange customs of the Jews. With great patience, Baruch replied to the ignorance and sheer foolishness of those posing the questions. He answered everything pleasantly and logically. The depth of Baruch's learned replies greatly impressed the Peretz and his household. They were also amazed at the confident and organized manner in which he presented his responses. Until now, they were used to meeting the typical Jews who held back their cleverness and showed a lack of confidence. Here was a Jewish young man who was bursting with confidence and had an unshakable and fearless faith in his path in life. "Wait a minute," cried the Peretz with a clap of his hands. "We have been chatting together for so long and I completely forgot to offer you something to eat and drink." The Peretz looked embarrassed and upset at himself. "Talking with you is so enchanting and delightful," he excused himself with an obvious effort to flatter Baruch. "Oh, don't worry," Baruch replied. "It really isn't worth the effort." The Peretz ignored Baruch and sent his daughter into the kitchen. "Bring the food that we have prepared in honor of our esteemed guest," he instructed. Baruch had to carefully choose the words he would use in order to explain why he was not eating from the food spread before him. Once again, he was faced with a delicate decision. He was not ready to waver on even the slightest detail of halacha. In fact, before visiting the Peretz, he had resolved that even if they were to offer him fruits, which are entirely kosher, he would nevertheless refuse to eat them. He knew that eating together with other people creates a friendly atmosphere and brings people closer together. That was something he wished to avoid at all costs. He had only accepted the invitation to visit the Peretz because he did not want his fellow Jews to suffer. He certainly did not intend to create a connection with the Peretz and his family. On the other hand, he needed to find a clever and sensitive way to refuse to eat the food. There was certainly no point in paying the pirates a visit only to upset him in his own home. All of a sudden, fearful screams emerged from the kitchen. Within seconds, the entire household was swept up in great commotion. The small son of the pirates had been playing with the heated kettle, and the scalding water had fallen on him. Everyone rushed to help the unfortunate child, who lay on the kitchen floor, screaming in pain. Given the situation, Baruch felt that there was no reason for him to remain there any longer. He quietly rose from his seat and left the house. The next morning, Baruch heard that the little boy had died. The tragedy that occurred in his presence affected him deeply. He felt pained at the tragic loss of the young boy. However, he realized that the pirates would not make do with just one short visit and would demand more. The pirates was clearly interested in drawing Baruch close to his family. Baruch knew that he had no choice. If he wanted to end the relationship with the pirates, he had to leave the orchard as soon as possible. Within a few days, Baruch informed his employer that he could no longer serve as watchman. Avraham understood Baruch's dilemma and paid him all that he owed him for his work. Baruch returned to the shul in Liuzhna and went back to his schedule of davening and learning. With the money he had earned during recent months, he was able to sustain himself without requesting help from anyone. Baruch did not need much. He fasted every Monday and Thursday as part of his Avodas Hashem. On the other days, he would eat very little. The only day of the week in which Baruch ate normally was Shabbos. As Baruch was engrossed in his studies by candlelight one night, Avram the farmer appeared before him. "I have been following you for a long time," he announced to the surprised Baruch. "I often came to the watchman's hut in the orchard in order to listen to you learning and davening. But don't worry, you can be sure that I have not revealed your secret to anyone." Baruch stared in surprise as the farmer continued, "I have come now because I want to begin learning with you as a chavrusa. I would like to study Chayshin Mishpat the entire night." Chayshin Mishpat is one of the four sections of Shulchan Aruch. It discusses the laws of monetary matters. What did a simple farmer know about such complicated material? Avraham read Baruch's thoughts. He glanced at the page of Gemara that lay open before Baruch and immediately began discussing the subject. Baruch quickly realized that Avraham was a great scholar.